Why don't we turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. I'll put a little plug in for Enoch's Club. I started thinking about this as I was preparing my lesson for Enoch's a few weeks ago. Let's read starting in verse 13 and just read maybe till 25. Luke 24 verse 13. And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were conversing with each other about all these things which had taken place. And it came about that while they were conversing and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking?" And they stood still, looking sad. And one of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "The things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him up to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things happened. But also some women among us amazed us when they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women also had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?'" Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we can be before your word tonight, and we pray that you would help me in communicating what you have taught me, and that we would evaluate our lives in the light of your word and be transformed as your Holy Spirit works in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I was preparing for the lesson, it really caught my attention that the Lord called these men foolish. And when I asked in the class whether that was nice, Levi Brummels agreed with me that was not nice to use a word like that. And I'd agree with him too. But it's interesting to me that there are 4-5 different places in the New Testament that we see Christians addressed that way. Now, I'm going to blame James Gray, who wrote the hymn, can't remember the title, but it goes, "Once I was foolish and sin ruled my heart." And I'm going to blame him for my wanting to think that the term fool primarily refers to an unsaved person. I was going to sing that song up here, but my boy said not to, so I'm just going to read it. "Once I was foolish and sin ruled my heart, causing my footsteps from God to depart. Jesus had found me, happy my case. I now am a sinner, saved by grace." And that's really not an incorrect thought. It's rather biblical. We have a couple references that I thought of that would substantiate that in the scriptures. Titus chapter 3, verse 3 says, "For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, so on and so forth. We also have the passage in Psalm 14, verse 1. And the same verse is reiterated again in Psalm 53, verse 1, where we read, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have committed abominable deeds. There is no one who does good." And as we read the verses that follow, we see that those are some of the verses that are quoted in Romans chapter 3, where Paul tries to prove from the scriptures that all Jews and Gentiles alike are sinful when he says there's none good, no, not one, and so on. So contextually speaking, those two verses would substantiate what James Gray put in his song, "Once I was foolish and sin ruled my heart." But as I said, we have passages like this here in Luke 24, where the Lord is talking to someone who has tremendous appreciation for the person of Christ, and we'll look at that in a moment here. But they failed in something, and the Lord addresses them as, "O foolish men." We come to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and as Paul is trying to make a case for the resurrection, in verse 36, he says, "But someone will say," I'm sorry, verse 35, "but someone will say, how are the dead raised? And with what kind of body do they come?" Verse 36, "You fool, that which you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And that which you sow, you do not sow the body which is to be, but a bare grain, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body just as he wished, and to each of the seeds a body of its own." Probably another one that would come to most of our minds rather quickly if you were thinking actively about this is Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified?" Another one is James chapter 2 and verse 20. "But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless?" There were a couple other places in the New Testament where the Lord himself used that terminology, but it was addressing the Pharisees, whom my understanding is that they are, we would call, unsaved. In Matthew 23, as he repeats the woes against them, in verse 17 it says, "You fools and blind men, which is more important, the gold or the temple that sanctified the gold?" And then in Luke chapter 11, again talking to the Pharisees, while he was having, meeting with them for a meal, and they were bringing up the issue of ceremonial cleansing, in verse 40 of Luke 11 it says, "You foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But give that which is within as charity, and then all things are clean for you." And then there was another one in Luke chapter 12 that I want to read, three or four verses. It's a parable that the Lord gave. "Then he said to them, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. And he told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man was very productive, and he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." I would take that one as applicable to both believers and unbelievers alike. So who is a fool? As I was studying for this, I noticed that there's about 180 references to that word fool or foolish, things like that, in the New American Standard, out of which I think almost 100 came out of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. And many characteristics of fools are referenced there. Things like a person who brought shame to his father or mother, or a person who laughed at sin, a person who loathed reproof, a person who is wise in his own eyes and doesn't think that they need to be taught anything. I was thinking, you know, in common terminology, what do we think as a person who is a fool? We might not call them, and we should not call them that, but, you know, it's a person who misses something that's obvious. I was trying to think of an example. You know, a person who, I don't know, knows that they can't swim like myself and then steps into water that's 7 feet deep. That would be foolish. Something like that can happen as an accident, like it did happen to me 2 or 3 years ago. But if I know that and step in, that would be foolish. But the question really for us tonight is, who does God consider a fool? Or why did the Lord Jesus, looking at these two men who were sad and disappointed that evening, call them a foolish person? I would reiterate what I said earlier about a definition for a fool. It would be a person who misses what should be obvious if God's thoughts and ways are included in the equation. Now, we read the verse earlier in Psalm 14. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. Until I was preparing for the lesson for Enoch, you know, I used to think that that would be somebody like Richard Dawkins, you know, who goes around and makes money telling that to people. But if we were to carefully look at the verse, it says it's a person who says that in his heart. That doesn't mean that Richard Dawkins is not a fool, but it includes